Welcome to the Learning Minds podcast, the official podcast of Khyber Medical College. I'm your host, Ehtisham Wali from Batch 2028. Join me as we dive into the world of medical innovation, uncover insights from leading experts, and explore the inspiring journeys of those shaping the future of healthcare and research. Today, we have the privilege of hosting an exceptional guest whose contributions extend beyond the operating room. Dr. Zakirullah is a distinguished ENT surgeon and specialist at Peshawar General Hospital and a former professor at Khyber Medical College. Dr. Zakirullah is currently serving as Director Medical Education and Dean Postgraduate Training at Peshawar General Hospital. In addition to his medical career, Dr. Zakirullah was also active in extracurricular activities during his time at KMC, serving as the chairperson of the Literary Society and Sina magazine. He has also served as the chairperson of the KMC Alumni Network, further strengthening his connection with the medical community. Dr. Zakirullah, welcome to the podcast. It's an absolute pleasure to have you here.
Thank you, Ehtisham. I'm very happy to be here with you. I have a very deep love for Khyber Medical College, for its students, doctors, and each and everything.
You have had an illustrious career as both an ENT surgeon and an educator. Can you walk us through your journey, your medical school life, and onwards?
Thank you, Ehtisham. Coming from a background, from a village to Islamic College, Peshawar. So the grooming started there in the historic place. And while passing through Khyber Medical College gate, I was not looking at that site because I was having a target to have maximum marks and to come here. So in Khyber Medical College, as a student, I was not a prominent student, a medical class student, but the things which were favoring me, I was very punctual. I regularly attending my lectures, wards, each and everything, even the societies. In those days, there were political groups and there were functions as well. So not relating to any particular faction, but try to have good connection, networking with the colleagues, student colleagues, seniors, juniors, and with the teachers. And that networking is helpful even today. I never failed in any exam in Khyber Medical College. And that I appreciate now. And in those days, specialization thinking was not a common thing. So even in the first year, we were thinking to do CSS and many thinking were there. But with the passage of time, from first year to final year, there was a grooming continuously on all the aspects of my life. So as I told you, socially and educationally, so we were grooming, and at the end, it was possible that we can do things which right, we sir. Dream.
Right, sir. Right, sir. Sir, one of our professors in Khyber Medical College once said that a medical student's interest in specialities often shifts from one to another throughout MBBS before they find the perfect fit for them. Did you experience something similar before choosing ENT?
In those days, it was a common thinking that to be a specialized doctor or to do FCPS is near to impossible. So I was thinking that I will go abroad and I will do FRCS. But in fourth year, I choose ENT to be my specialty, inshallah, in future. And as you said, many of my friends were choosing one and then another one. And even after graduation and after passing FCPS part one, they were changing continuously, but I choose one and stick to that, and that was very helpful for me. I did DLO in 92, in 93 I did MCPS, and in 95 I had completed my FCPS. And then my interest in education continued for. And then I did in 2012 certificate course in medical education and then a master's degree from the Khyber Medical University. So this is all about, you can think about patient care and then education, there was a shift as well.
Absolutely, absolutely. So your credentials speak for your academic excellence as well. Sir, moving on towards the next question. Having served as both a practicing ENT surgeon and a professor, how do you see the relationship between clinical practice and medical education?
Patient care, again, need your education background. I attended many workshops. I was interested to develop myself, and this was the blessing of the God that I achieved the things. So different workshop and different courses in education and as well as well in my specialty. So the patient care and the teaching improves when there is a connection. In medical education, there is a saying that there may be a very, very competent surgeon, but that person may not be a good teacher, may not be a good having a good counseling skills. There may be a low level of patient satisfaction while explaining things.
Absolutely.
So that plays a very important role,
Right.
and this is a very good question. Thank
Right.
you.
So especially in a field like ENT, where communication is the key. So patient-doctor interaction plays a crucial role, as you said, sir. So in a busy clinical setting, like here in Peshawar General Hospital or in any other public hospital, how do you ensure that each patient feels heard and understood despite your time limitations, since you have limited time as well?
You need to, Etasham, you need to have the skills of time management, and you need to give due respect, due time to another human being who is ill. So you have an upper hand while the patient is a lower hand. The patient is coming to you, he may be seen by many people.
Yes, sir.
So proper time, dividing the time for explaining things, for counseling, this is very, very important. Otherwise, a patient coming from far away may be saying that my visit was useless. So the proper time and proper attention and proper explanation and counseling and telling the future planning as well is very, very important.
Right, sir. Sir, moving on towards the next question. Sir, since many of the students, especially students in fourth year and final year, might be considering choosing a specialization for themselves, and for students considering ENT as a specialization, what is the most rewarding part of being an ENT surgeon, and what is the most challenging part of it?
Ehtisham, coming back to why I choose ENT. So I was thinking in those days, in ENT, the patients are young. The surgical relief gives good results. So that was my view in those days. But for students, I always counsel my students and guiding them. That it depends upon their attitude, their hard work. Each and every specialty is good.
Right.
In ENT, as I like ENT, in ENT, there are not one region. You are a surgeon, and as well as you are a physician as well. So you have nose and the sinuses area. This is again now one specialty, subspecialty. The larynx, throat, another specialty. The otology is another specialty, and the head and neck is the fourth one.
So otolaryngology is your specialty, right?
Yes.
Right, sir.
So you may be a general in the current practice in the world. You may be a general ENT surgeon or specialist. You may be doing only nose surgery and dealing diseases of the nose or ear or neck as a head and neck surgeon. So there are many opportunities for students. So the area is very wide and you can play easily in this area. So I suggest ENT is very good for students, but again depends on them.
Sir, are there any misconceptions regarding ENT that you want to address?
Yes. Many of our patients are saying that we were told that some diseases are there which are never cured. So we are having patients with allergic rhinitis, allergies, polyposis, allergy of the airway, combined airway. So these diseases, we are very careful not to operate, because the basic disease of allergy will be there even after surgery. Or if you are good enough, explain things. I usually write down on my sheet after discussion that I counsel the family and patient that the benefit is only 40%, maybe 60% or 80%. This is very, very important to explain things. And the other day, one of my patients was coming again with some throat problem. So I said, I told you the response or cure will be limited. So the mother said, oh, we know that the benefit will be up to 60%. So again, you should be good enough to explain things and those diseases.
Right, sir. Sir, moving on towards another important question. With advancements in medical technology, robotics and AI are being integrated into various surgical fields worldwide, sir. So given our healthcare in Pakistan, particularly in KPK, do you think the introduction of AI in ENT surgeries is feasible, keeping in mind the challenges and technicalities we might have to face?
Robotic surgery and AI both are very useful. It depends on us to give some time to be trained in these fields. So as now each one of us knows something about computers and things like that, so we can easily utilize, but we should be trained. And there are courses now for that. Regarding robotic surgery, I have seen in the United States, our Pakistani colleagues are there. And whenever I visit for some conferences, so I meet them. So the results are very good. We invited them, the American ENT surgeons, to Peshawar as well. And they were telling us that the facility costs too much for the first time to install things.
Right.
But the expertise, again, is a matter of we need to think over it. We need to spend some time. So our younger colleagues, they can spend time. I was invited for this Ramzan Job Hopkins Hospital. The head of department is from Pakistan. But we cannot give time because of the family and the busy schedule here.
Right.
So the things are feasible, possible, and beneficial.
Yes, sir. But you need that time and
yes,
that resources.
Yes.
Sir, recently there has been a rapid advancement in AI, and there's an ongoing debate whether AI would replace doctors or not. What is your say on that, sir?
AI is, there was a conference recently, I was there. It is helpful. It can help us, like mobile technology, laptops, computer, we need to take help from them. So it will help us. It cannot replace the human brain.
Perfectly explained, sir. Thank you. Sir, can you share a moment in the operating room that tested your skills or emotions the most?
On many occasions, happens that sometime in the initial days, I was thinking probably this is not feasible for me to do this type of surgery. But when you do that, these are the moments of happiness. And we share with colleagues, you see. And how I share it, I always teach my students and trainees that before starting, start from the name of Allah and from a dua. Ya Allah, make it easy for me. And give it to this patient as a whole, Shifa-e Kamila. This is very, very important. As we say, and while going for Hajj, we were told that you need to say, make it easy for us. So this is again another thing. So I thank God, Alhamdulillah, I was granted some help. So that's why it was easier for me.
Right, sir. Sir, how do you mentally prepare yourself for high-stakes surgeries, especially those that require precision and quick decision making.
Just like happened today, I hit the right going to the chest. So I learned that at each moment, every day, for a small case or a case like you mentioned, we need to take help from Allah Almighty. So I always start from the name of Allah and request for the help. And the help is there. On many occasions, I felt like somebody else is helping me and doing the work for me. So being Muslim and have a faith, so and helping the other person. So the surgery or as a doctor, it's the service to humanity. And Allah also will be happy with this help if you are sincere enough and your personal interest is not there, so help is always there.
Right, sir. So you have been a professor and you have been teaching in Khyber Medical College as well as you have been a surgeon. Sir, what is more difficult according to you? Is surgery more important or teaching students more difficult?
Hitham, my concept is that you need to have a balance everywhere, and time management again is very, very important. So, in medical education, again, this is a teaching that these students again have a limited time. So, your attention, your guidance is needed. So, even in surgery, we are teaching. Look, this is the right. Can you see it? How much is it? How is the pulse? How is the bleeding? What is the blood color? This is all teaching. So,
So there is a difference between teaching postgraduates and MBBS students. Like they act differently when they are in classes and when they are in operating rooms.
yes. In undergraduate, we try. I always in my lecture explain these things. I come down as a third year student and stick to the basic and simple wording, simple sentences, and explaining is to newcomers. While in postgraduate, they are there with us from the start to the end. They will be there tomorrow as well. But in undergraduate, they have a very limited time. They have, for example, having 7 days, 8 days, or 10 days. In those days, you need to explain things and you need to give importance to each and every aspect of the diseases, the patient, so that they can see. When you see things, the impression is for longer.
Yes, sir.
But in postgraduate, they are with us. So for them, we change our style of talking. Each and every sentence and word is meaningful, so that they, as a role modeling, think like that. So we talk very carefully. We do think very carefully. We sit very carefully. We stand very carefully. Each and every action. So I may say that I'm not like this, but I'm doing it for you to explain things. Watch me and learn. Because I have learned from my teacher, I'm transferring it. So the postgraduate is there for, say, for example, 3 years, 4 years, but the undergraduate for a very short period.
Yes, sir.
And
One or two classes in a
yes.
month. Right, sir. Sir, moving on towards questions on a lighter note. Sir, during your time at KMC, you were actively involved in extracurricular activities. You were the chairperson of the Literary Society and Cine Magazine. In your view, how important is it for medical students to engage in extracurricular activities alongside their academic commitments? And how did your own involvement shape your journey?
This is very, very important, and I realize it, and it is now proven thing that in my student life, the students who are involved in these extracurricular activity, they are playing very important position now. And in my career as a chairman of the society, I noted that students who were involved in extracurricular activity, they showed very important results in post-graduation, in practical life, life as a doctor, interaction with the patient, interaction with other human beings. They are socialized. Their soft skill is very, very high. So I always advise to our students, please join societies. Please spare time for these things. And how I was explaining in a way that in my student life, I was having very limited exposure to these things. But now I have realized. So that's why I'm telling you this is very, very beneficial, fruitful, and having very good impact on your life. Because you are growing and you, at the end, as a good human being, having values, values of a good human being. And this is very, very important. You are not only a doctor, a surgeon, or something else, but you are a good human being. And all the regulatory bodies of the world, maybe Canadian, American, anyone, or in Pakistan, the PMDC, they want that the doctors basically should be a good human being. And I explained in my lectures those days that in old days, a doctor necessarily should be having a religious knowledge as well. Tabib, Ojo, maybe in Christianity, other religions, they were religious people who were doctors.
Right, sir. Sir, balancing a demanding medical career with personal life can be quite challenging. How do you manage your daily routine, family time, and professional responsibilities while ensuring neither is compromised?
So, as you grow in your specialty, in your career, the people need you too much. And every moment, they need you. So, then you need to be wise enough. And again, with age, you develop a wisdom. A wisdom is a very important thing that you can decide things. So the balance should be there. And I tried to keep that balance. You may not know that since 2003, I did my clinic 5 days a day. Clinic off on Saturday and Sunday. While in my center, there was no other doctor like that. Now many people has realized. So the balance is realized by many of us. And this is very, very, very important to give time to your family, children, to attend family marriages, functions. This is very, very important. So you should be very careful to keep a balance.
Right, sir. So have there been occurrences where you have to, due to your professional responsibilities, you have to omit going to some family function or any other family responsibility for your professional responsibility?
So, with your position, there's a change. Initially, you are doing things by yourself, but you are training people. And they can do things. So with the passage of time, you are a manager type
right.
person. You should delegate powers. Do not keep powers with you.
Mm-hmm.
In my department, is to say, professor, you are in charge of the OT affairs. Another person, you are in charge of the ward. You are in charge of this and that. You are different in charge.
You are supervising.
Supervising things and keep an eye. And nowadays, you can even ask on telephone. You can see the progress. And you are supposed to have to keep an eye on each and everything and do not ignore things.
Right.
So your job, your status is changing. But you should be a good manager at the end.
Right, this so it was difficult earlier, but now you are sort of a supervisor, so you can manage your time.
You saw file in my hand.
Yes, sir.
This was given to some else,
right,
he completed it.
Right, sir. Sir, Do you have any interesting or hard to forget experiences from your medical school or here at hospital?
We were having a batch of 21 students,
Right, sir.
9 girls, 11 boys.
So you remember the proportion as well.
Yes. So we were very, very much close friends. And the things were very organized. At the end of each ward, there was a party, get together. And the same thing is continue till now. Last week we had a gathering.
Right.
So this this thing helped us to grow and to develop network and to be a socialized person.
Right, sir. So if you weren't a doctor, what career do you think you would have pursued?
This question asked many times in different conferences, but initially I was unable to answer. So the job I like too much is teaching.
Teaching.
So this was another thing I have to choose.
Right. This was, if you weren't a doctor, you would be a teacher.
Teacher.
You are doing both of them right now.
Yes, yes, yes.
Right, sir. So, sir, another, we are ending this podcast with this question. If you could go back in time and give one piece of advice to your younger self, what would that advice be?
Each one should be very sincere to the task allocated and should be punctual and should be very, very, very target-oriented, focused. So haphazardly, things may not be manageable. So this is my advice.
Right, sir. That sums up our discussion, sir. Thank you so much for taking out time from your busy schedule and sharing your valuable insights. It's been a pleasure hearing about your journey and experiences. To our listeners, thank you for tuning in. Until next time, Allah Hafiz.